Well, I came to Bible study on Thursday, and Luke gave an analogy that I thought was really effective, really powerful. It was simple, but it was a reminder for me, and since some of us weren't here Thursday, I think it would be nice to just remind everyone of how important doing God's will is, even when it's really small and we think it's not really important. So we were looking at a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you could turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. We'll start there. Actually, let's go back to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there was a lot of discussion about the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the wood, the hay, and the straw, and what that meant. And our brother Luke gave an analogy. He said, right now, as we're aware, there's a lot of fire going on in Southern California. People are losing their homes and their lives and their memories. Everything is being destroyed by fire. And in one particular house, you know, there's sometimes these huge, magnificent wood structures that we see when we enter a home, and it looks beautiful. Some of it took a long time of labor to build it and to make it what the owners want it to look like. And one particular home had such beautiful structures inside, and the fire, unfortunately, got to the home and started to burn it and burn it and burn it. And it burned the home down. And the owner, after it was destroyed, came and, looking at the rubble, looking at the destruction, was overwhelmed. And beginning to look through the rubble and all the destruction, he found something that lasted. Something that could not be destroyed. Something that could not be burned and eradicated. And it was the gold wedding ring for his wife. And in saying that, our brother reminded us, sometimes it's not the big, magnificent things that we look at and that we're in awe of that really is what God wants. Sometimes it's something that may seem less important, something in the world's eye that might not be valuable or as valuable. That might be what God really finds value in, and that won't be destroyed. And just like marriages are valuable and very important to God, there are things in our lives that may seem minor, that doesn't seem impactful, or no one is going to talk about it, or no one's going to be in awe of it, but God might be. It's those little things where those little sacrifices, oh, I'm going to pick someone up, or I'm going to spend a little longer in my devotions. I'm going to wake up a little earlier like the psalmist did so I can give the Lord a little bit more. You know what? I'm going to put my feelings behind and follow the word and just do what God wants me to do. No one might be seeing it. No one might be seeing the internal challenges that is going on. Or they may see it and it just seems so small. But you know, at the end of the day, God might say, this is what I approved. And this is what brought me glory. So don't feel like those things are insignificant. Instead, do everything. The scripture says, whatsoever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it. If we know it's the will of God, do it with diligence for the glory of the Lord. Because we work and serve Him. And I was also thinking about another analogy where if you walk into a backyard or into a land, an open field, it's very easy to find wood, hay, and straw. But it's very difficult to find good gold, silver, and precious stone. For the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, you have to mine. You have to dig for it. You have to work and labor to produce it. Whereas the wood and straw might be everywhere. And it's a reminder also that we are not to be lazy. Some of the precious things that belong to the Lord, some of the precious things for the Lord, takes labor and work. So many times we have chosen to do the easier thing, but the truth is that the easy things may just be destroyed. God wants us to work hard, to labor. This is our only time to live for Him. I remember a man, he got saved. And he served the Lord the few years he had left because he was saved as an adult. He didn't have the privilege, like many of us, to be saved as children. But he tried to make up for those lost years working and working and working for the Lord. Not for his salvation, but just in honoring God and in honoring his people. And when it came to the end of his life, he said, I have one regret. He said, I wish I had another life to live for the Lord. Another life in which I could give back even more to the Lord because He's so worthy. And I was just thinking about those things as I was looking at the precious stones and the wood and the hay and reminding myself not to be lazy, to strive, to labor, to do everything unto the Lord. And also reminding myself that in the will of the Lord, those things that may seem insignificant, as long as it's what the Lord wants me to do, are the things that are going to last. So don't dismiss it, don't diminish it, and don't neglect it. So those were just a few analogies I was thinking of as I was reading these verses, and I wanted to share it with you so that we may be encouraged to labor for the Lord and for His people. Remember His people, He loves them, the church. He died for the church and now lives for the church and nourishes the church. So we shouldn't speak very critically of the church, but instead labor and love the church, the people of God. And so we work hard. We look at the little things not from the temporary perspective, but the eternal perspective, and also that we are not lazy. So those are some of the things I was thinking about as we serve our Lord so that we may give Him, be able to offer Him something that lasts. Amen.
Amen. I could just follow up that with a couple comments from the book of Micah. And there's a verse that I don't know where it is, but it's do not despise the day of small things. Does anyone know where that is? Anyway, I'll have to look that up. But, you know, it struck me as Richard was sharing that he doesn't want us to long to be doing those big ornate things that everyone sees and everyone praises us and says, wow, that's a real Christian there. Look how wonderful that work is. But instead, to be willing to do those small things that many times are behind the scenes and no one maybe sees. Because it is like that cup of cold water that's given in the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus promised, you will by no means lose your reward. But many times when we strive to simply do the flashy thing and we receive a lot of praise from the people around us, the Lord would say, you've already received your reward. That's all you get. It feels good for a while, but this will not last. You know, I was thinking as Richard was sharing about that big wooden, big entertainment center. And I can tell you from experience, those are hard to make. It takes a lot of work. And it's amazing because I've made things like that. And you'll work on it for so long. And it's amazing that in the blink of an eye, that whole thing can burn up. And it doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It's not like the fire gets to the thing and says, wow, it's so beautiful. I don't know if I should burn it or not. That's not the way it works. It consumes both ugly and beautiful alike. We must live our lives in light of that truth. We know, because we see around us, what this world celebrates, what this world praises. The big thing, the flashy thing, the thing that seems to be making the biggest difference. But a lot of times the Lord, it's just like when he came to David's family. He said, don't look at the one who looks like a king, the strongest, the tallest. I look at the heart, and a lot of times it might be the youngest, the smallest, the most insignificant that God wants to use. And it's the same with our deeds. The same with our things that we're doing as unto the Lord. A lot of times, I think, in glory, we'll look back, and it was something that we thought was so small, but done in an act of obedience and love and sincerity in the Lord's name, and that's what's going to shine in His kingdom. Isn't that interesting to think about? And, you know, God always works this way. And it's never more true than in the story of the Lord's coming. We, during this time leading up to Christmas, a lot of times people refer to this as a time, the Advent season, where there's a lot of thought put into the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world as a baby. And we know if there's one thing that stands out from that story, it's the seeming insignificance of his coming. Born in a manger to poor people in a poor city. Insignificant. There's nothing about it that the world would say, now this is the birth of a king. But that's always the way the Lord works. And we see this prophecy in Micah. I thought we could just read it. As our hearts many times are turning towards the Lord's coming during this time, we can remember that God wants us to not despise the small things because that's the way He is. He doesn't despise the small things. And He uses the seemingly insignificant things in this world to shame the things that are the things that seem so huge and important.
1 Samuel 2:30, I guess, the one you're talking about. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and that they despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Is that the one?
No, this is a different one, but it's a good one. Keep looking. Don't despise the day of small things. It's in there. The internet will tell you. Uncle Google knows.
That's Zechariah 4:10.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
So, Zechariah 4:10. It's always good. We don't want to just say, oh, here's a verse. Maybe it's in there. Maybe, like I heard one time a preacher said, as God said, you know, as God has said in his word, the Lord, or what was it? God helps those who help themselves, right? We know that God didn't say that. Benjamin Franklin said that. So we don't want to misquote the Lord. What was the verse? Chapter 4, verse 10. Whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Yeah, I think that probably is the verse. But anyway, back to Micah 5. Just one reading of a prophecy of the Lord's coming in Micah 5. Verse 1 says, now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. And so we see one, it's described earlier, out of Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small even to be counted. But in verse 4 it says, he shall be great to the ends of the earth. So we worship that kind of a king, that kind of a Lord, the one who, although in this scene was despised and thought little of, is in fact the most important being to exist in this universe. And so we can take that lesson into our practical everyday lives. Watch for those opportunities to share love to the people around you, to give from the heart, not expecting something in return. And I believe that the Lord can be glorified and honored as we do that, and we'll be strengthened in our faith as we display that kind of obedience for his name's sake.